When we started the series for this year, right at the beginning of the year, you realize that our focus was so much on, in fact, our prayer and fasting was pointing in that direction, where we were looking at our own heart's renewal, corporate renewal, individual renewal, which means that if we are going to experience what God wants us to experience in our lives as a church and as individuals, as families represented, then the whole thing comes back to really, in a sense, if I'll use this term, rediscovering who God is, seeing it again in a fresh new light, his love, his character, even the reason for his judgment, the seriousness of our sin, and yet the flood of forgiveness and the grace of repentance that can lead us there. And when we discover these things, and when we respond by faith, when the Spirit moves us and we respond, we begin to experience something that words cannot describe. We begin to be drawn into the very life of God himself. We begin to be changed. And so we have journeyed thus far. That is why at some point we spend some time in Hosea. The goal of Hosea was not to talk about divorce or marriage. The goal of Hosea was really to talk about God, because it was about God. God and his crazy love that pursues his people until he catches them, and who knows, they are changed. When all these things are happening, there is something that we shouldn't be ignorant of, and that is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And so today we are going to look at that very subject of spiritual warfare in the Christian life. So I'm going to pray, and then we will look into Ephesians. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you teach us what we think we know but we do not know. Inform our minds with the knowledge of your will. And then inflame, set our hearts on fire by the power of the Spirit, by this same knowledge, and move our hands and feet towards obeying you, that we might experience the fullness of God. And we pray this, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If after this sermon for this morning, you feel, you live here feeling like, wow, Satan is wild, though. Yeah, Satan is amazing. Satan can, well, you won't say amazing, but you know what I mean. Where you somehow stand in awe of Satan and the forces of darkness, then I have failed. Because that is not what the passage is actually doing. However, if you leave this room feeling emboldened and empowered to stand firm, then I believe somehow I have just begun to open to you this part of Ephesians 6, which is about spiritual warfare. I believe that this part, so far we've been climbing Ephesians, well, if we did Ephesians, if you read through Ephesians, you'll be climbing like this. And by the time you get to this spiritual warfare, we are like on the peak of the mountain. Paul, by the Spirit, is opening up all that he's been arguing, and the fact that Satan will resist the church. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for us as a local church. God has a plan, an incredible plan for the body of Christ in this city and in this world. Now, what is that plan? We are told in Ephesians chapter 3. You don't need to turn to it. Just listen. From verse 10 to verse 11. His intent, whose intent? God's intention is this. His intent was that now, through the church, of which you are a member, the manifold wisdom, that word manifold is the colorful wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And this plan is according to his eternal purpose that he has already accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the plan. Every one of you here, and he is your Lord, and he is your Savior. This is the unfolding of God's intention for you, that together as a church, not just individuals, but individuals too, because you're a member of the church, through you in the world, God's incredible wisdom, in other words, his glory, will be made known, not just to our neighbors, but to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That is God's eternal plan that he has always had. And he has already accomplished it in Jesus. Now, for those who are in Jesus, God wants to display his beauty and wisdom and colorful wisdom through you. I don't know how else to say this colorful wisdom. Maybe tree would help. Onyankopon adwene ewo ni tree mu a waye dada ewo Kristo Yesu mu ne se ne manfuo mu a wo ka ho obeda ni nyansa ne na ho odin ne tumi ene na ni onyamu adi ewo wabrabo mu. That is God's intention. This is, and Satan hates it. Satan is jealous of the Christian. Satan is jealous of the church. The church is called the bride of Christ. You are members of the church, the body of Christ. Satan hates Jesus, and yet he can't do anything about Jesus. And so Satan would hate the love of Jesus, the church, and do everything against the church. And so Satan is fighting the church all the time. And you'll see very soon in various ways that he fights the church. The Christian life is an incredible life, but it's also a very painful life, isn't it? You know how you describe the Christian life in this? The Christian life is a life on the battlefield. The moment you gave your life to the Lord Jesus, you entered into a battlefield. Not to go and fight in order to bring about victory. It is victory already secured. And in that victory, at the cross, the Christian and the resurrection actually fights his fight. But it is a life on the battlefield. Becoming a Christian is entering into spiritual warfare. That is what it is. Now, if you have Western orientation, like you come from Europe or America or places like that, generally speaking, in such places, matters of spiritual warfare, not everywhere. If you visited churches in the West, you realize not everywhere, those things are less emphasized. They're talked about less. And then when you come from where I come from, and perhaps places in Asia, you realize that we overemphasize Satan, and we always talk about demons, and we are always aware of his move, and sometimes we even forget that he is a defeated foe. And you actually see it in our prayers and in our prayer meetings. True. Just watch our topics and just watch our energy based on what is raised. And that is revealing the intent of our posture in terms of how we see God and how we see what he has accomplished and how we see Satan in reality. Don't tell me your theology. Let me see it. And prayer meeting reveals it a lot. So let me explain spiritual warfare under three headings. Number one, stand. One word topic. Number two, withstand. You know, somebody withstanding something. And then number three, stand. Stand, withstand, stand. So let's take the first one. Stand. We need strength. This kind of spiritual warfare, you need spiritual strength. And that strength is not from human beings. It's not from ourselves. You see the reason in a second. And then we need armory. But don't think in terms of today, like American armory, the most powerful country on the planet. That's not the kind of thing. This one is a different kind of armory. You have to think first century, those times. That one you have to actually, in many ways, they were also doing proxy small, but in many ways you've got to come into contact with your enemy. But the strength that we need for this battle and the armory that we need are not human. They're not from us. So look at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That strength is already supplied. It is already there. We only need to obey, isn't it? It says be strong. It's a command. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That strength has already been secured. So let me take you back. Ephesians 1, 18 to 21. Don't turn there so you can follow me. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This is a prayer we'll come back to. That you may know the hope to which you have called you and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. So this is what he's saying. When he says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, it is not something you are going to look for and do. It is already there. And we will see how you can be strong in it, how you can actually obey this. It is the same. That strength is the strength that God exerted when he raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. It is a life-giving strength. It is a transforming strength. It is a strength that the strongest power of the universe, if we put it that way, death, can't even hold down. Because Christ was raised from the dead. That is the kind of strength we are talking about here. Be strong in the Lord. And then he says, put on the whole armor, the armory that we need. Listen, he said the whole armor of who? The whole armor of who does it belong to? God. It is the armor from God, for God, and of him. It belongs to him. It comes from him. And then if you know that, it's going to liberate you to actually stand. So what we need in the battlefield against our enemy is not from ourselves, thank God. It is from God. He has secured it. The armory is from him, and the strength is from him. It has to be from God. You know why? Here is the reason. Because we wrestle not against human beings. Do you know what that means? Wrestling. How do you wrestle? William, how do you wrestle? Just demonstrate it and let me see. Yeah, William has just demonstrated wrestling. Wrestling means you come into contact and you want to put me down. And then those of you who are WW, what? That's right. And then I want to keep you down on the count of three. And when I keep you down on the count of three, who wins? So wrestling, he uses that term, we wrestle. He could have used we fight, but he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It is not against human beings, against spiritual forces that we can't stand in ourselves. Listen to their names. The rulers, the authorities, the cosmic power of this present darkness, spiritual forces of evil. Now, listen to the term again so that I hope you get it. Oh God, I hope they get it. Forces, powers, rulers, authority. Have you seen the term that are being used here? It's either I'm not preaching it well or you don't get it. What we are up against is not human beings. Ultimately, all the challenges that we face, behind and above it, and in it and through it, not human beings. Not human beings. Paul says, we, by virtue of being in Christ, the same forces that we were under, enslaved by when we were outside of Christ, as soon as we came into Christ by faith in him, they became our enemies and we are wrestling. They are rulers, they rule, they are authorities, they have authority, they are cosmic powers, they are atmospheric everywhere powers of this present darkness, and they are forced to reckon with spiritual forces of evil. He says, and they want to knock us down from standing in our faith. The enemy's weapon is one thing, just one thing. You think it's your money, it's not your money. You think it's your health, it's not even your health. His weapon is something we call scheme. Okay, what is scheme? Another way of saying it is, when Paul talks about it earlier, that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes. You remember Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty. Satan's weapon against you, the church, your family, is a weapon of scheming. We'll see example. It's a weapon of scheming. It's crafty. It is not the picture that we see, Satan with horns and painted like with bitumen coat and standing there with wings and pitchfork, the fork with. No, it's a scheming thing. It is to deceive. It is to accuse. It is to incite. And the way he does it, the reason he schemes is that he knows our weakness. He knows our weakness is that we won't put on the full armor of God. We won't do it. It is there, but we won't do it. And so long as we won't do it and obey the Lord in that way, he knows we are weak. And so he schemes, he deceives, and before we know it, we have entered into falsehood and laziness and lack of grace and sensuality and discouragement and fear and no love and no submission and all these things. We enter into a realm that we live as so as though we are not a people in Christ. Where do we see Satan's schemes most? Paul gives us an example. Before he talks about spiritual warfare, what are some of the things he's been talking about? He's been talking about life in Christ. He's been talking about general life from chapter 5. And then he's been talking about work, work life. And then he's been talking about marriage. And then he's been talking about parenting. Why? Because all these areas of life, somehow, God's intention is that he will display his glory in the church in all these areas of life. Marriage is about God displaying the gospel, his glory. Parenting is about God displaying his glory. The way you approach your work is about God displaying his glory. The way you live your general life in society is about God displaying his glory. And so long as there is anything in this church and in your life and in your families that is focused on God displaying his wisdom and glory and the good news, Satan will come after you. That is why Paul gives those examples before he comes to spiritual warfare. And the whole scheming is that I will forget who I am in Christ. I will forget about my identity. I'll forget about whose, that I belong to God, that I am deeply loved beyond my imagination, so that we will turn our attention from everything, from on everything except all that we have in Christ. And when that happens, Satan thinks that then he would have succeeded in not only destroying us, but destroying the purposes of God for us as a people among whom and in whom and through whom God wants to display his very nature to the entire world, the entire universe. You are so special. Satan knows it. The only person who doesn't know it is yourself. And that is why we live the way we do. And that is why he so easily schemes us in spite of what we have in Christ. But he knows we can't stand him. He knows it. You know what? Satan is like, I've mentioned Satan's name more than I would have loved to. But let's talk about him in order to expose him in Christ by the gospel. He knows one thing. He is. There is a saying that he that is down needs fear no fall. The thing is, I'm down already. I'm going. The only thing is Christ's second coming. As many as possible, not in the world, that one we will deal with them, in the church, that I can drag with me, I will do. There's nothing to lose. They have everything to lose. Christ has defeated me anyway. I'm only waiting for the final consummation of everything. We will destroy. Satan's mantra is maximum damage as much as possible. Whether it's in the church, or in your marriage, or in your parenting, or in your studies, in school, at work, wherever, every aspect of your life, insofar as it is focused on glorifying God, we will cause maximum damage. But he knows that you can stand him, and maximum damage will not be accomplished. He knows that very well. The reason is Christ. Because the reality is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and then he mentions rulers and authorities and all these people in the heavenly places, Satan knows very well that in spite of where he and his cohorts occupy, listen about Christ. 1 verse 21 downwards, far above, that's Christ, all rule, the rulers, and authority, the authorities, the powers, the cosmic powers, the dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, Christ's feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. So he knows that in so far as we turn our attention on Christ and we put on his armory, there is no way Satan has no chance against the Christian. He knows it. In Christ. So this is the very thing that he doesn't want us to know. That's why he doesn't want you to read the Bible. And so he knows we can withstand him. That's the second point, withstand. Verse 30, another way of saying withstand is stand your grounds. The church, you, physically you look like this weak person. You don't have a lot of muscles. And you're just an ordinary Christian. That is just who you are physically. Spiritually, you terrify the forces of evil in Christ. And you can withstand him. You can stand your grounds. You can stand your grounds. And somebody will say, hey, how? With all these forces that I've been mentioned, you can stand. But here is what I want you to know from the passage. Look at verse 13 again. What does he say in verse 13? He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your grounds. What do you mean by the day of evil? We are in the battlefield generally. That is a Christian life. But there comes these seasons of your life. There come these moments, a particular season of your life, where you know that it seems that evil is persisting in your life. It seems that your joy is just sucked. It seems that nothing is going away. It seems that you pray and it hits the ceiling. It seems you have come under an intense barrage. When we say barrage, when you are being bombed by the flaming arrows of Satan, and it's like it goes from one degree of, there is this evil day. The Lord says, when that evil day, when that season, some of you may be experiencing this season, whether it is in your walk with the Lord or in your marriage or in your work life or as a teen, whatever it is, there is this uncertainty and turmoil in your hearts. you can withstand. How? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God. How would you actually put on and take up the whole armor of God? We can say it here and say, take up the whole armor of God. That's why I like working with the youth and with the children. They'll look at you and say, how? And so how do you actually take up the whole armor of God? You know what the answer is? You know what the answer is? You know the answer. The answer is prayer. Look at it, verse 18. Verse 18. What does he say in verse 18? Let me read it for you, my dear brothers and sisters. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. The armor of God, the full armor of God, is spiritual. It's real, spiritual. It's not something that you manufacture in a military factory or industry. It is obtained from God because we are dealing with forces of evil against the church that are not human beings. And yet, they are defeated. And the way the Christian in their day-to-day walk can live out this victory and withstand, even in evil times, when it's supposed to break you and tear you down and destroy your faith, the way you can withstand is to put on this full armor of God through prayer. Listen, the belt of truth buckled around your waist to hold everything in place. The breastplate of righteousness, Christ's righteousness that leads to righteous living. That breastplate protecting your heart. The helmet protecting the way you think and perceive yourself in Christ. Verse 15, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That we have peace with God through this gospel and we are ready to proclaim it to others and to tell them. That's how we defeat the world. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which we can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one he throws at us and we feel bent and destroyed and discouraged. And take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation over your head. And the sword of the Spirit. Everything is in the sword of the Spirit, isn't it? So he'll keep us away from it. And then he says, pray with all kinds of prayer. It is now these things that I've revealed to you. Now begin to pray them into the church. Begin to pray them into your life. It is as we depend on God through prayer, as we appropriate it through prayer, then we begin to walk in them in our daily lives. That is the only way we are not going to be discouraged. If we don't know this, and if we don't pray it as Paul has prayed it practically into the church and into our lives, all kinds of things will happen. Division will creep in. You and your husband will be at loggerheads for a long, long, long time. You never really enjoy life. You don't know what is going on. And all that Satan is doing is just one, in order to discourage you in the faith and turn your eyes off Jesus, and you are living everything from your own strength and you are tired, and that's our spiritual battle that we have. But the solution is given us. Why should we be afraid? Tell me. Close my Bible. Why should we be afraid? Why should we be afraid? So henceforth, this is my encouragement to you. Put on the whole armor of God through prayer. And it is not so much that, God, I put on the helmet of salvation and I put on this. Yeah, you can pray that. But it is more than that. Pray with understanding. How do you pray this with understanding? How do you appropriate it? Go to the two prayers of Paul in chapter 1 and chapter 3. And then begin to take your time and pray them. Lord, help me to know who I am. Help me to know whose I am. Help me to know the accomplishment of the gospel. Let me live my life as a married man, as a worker, as a minister, as a parent, as a citizen. Let me live my life as a person who is not operating from a place of defeat, but a place of Christ's victory at the cross for me. When you start praying that prayer, Satan will hate you the more, but he can't do anything about it. He will do everything to let you pray all kinds of prayer, but this prayer. It's true. He will preoccupy you with your material needs all the time. In fact, sometimes he will tell us that the relational difficulty that we are facing, you just focus all your attention on there, on that one. It is important. But you know what? The strategy is you pray this prayer and let your identity be so firmly rooted in who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit. You just come and soak yourself in the gospel of the Lord Jesus and let it permeate every fiber of your being. Everything will begin to fall in place in your own hearts. And then you will be well positioned to engage with your neighbor. Satan knows this. He doesn't want us to know it. And so he preoccupies us. You know why you are so busy in ministry? Don't tell me I'm talking about me. You know why we're so busy with work? You know why we're so busy running around? And when it comes to the most important things, we are just so tired and exhausted. Strategy. Anything that will keep you thinking that, oh, insofar as you are trying hard, you are fine, and any time to actually be with the Lord Jesus and pray him into your heart, oh, that one we can rush it. That one we can even do in the car, isn't it? Whilst we are going, we can do in the car, and then somebody insults us, and we insult back, and we say, Jesus, forgive us, and then we continue. But that time of really coming and being with him and absorbing him and appropriating the full armor of God from the place of victory, oh, God, have mercy on us. And so, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to pray Paul's prayer. So please, let's stand together.